Gotcha. You're listening to Mary and Kelly Live on Thrive.
I came to win, to fight, to conquer, to thrive. I came to win, to fight, to prosper, to rise. To
good Monday evening. Welcome to Thrive here on Rev Media Network. How are you, Kelly?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I know we had our official start of spring, a couple days ago, but it's not spring here in Atlanta.
I think it's colder than it has been all winter.
It's kind of frustrating shopping for Easter.
Yes, it is.
All the Easter outfits with cute short sleeves. Yes. I'm going to freeze.
I know, me too. I don't know what the forecast is for Sunday, but for as far ahead as I could see, it was cold.
No.
So I don't know. I don't know about Sunday yet. But I have no clue what I'm going to wear for Easter.
No, I know. And I need to burn it down to the last minute.
Me too. I've gone shopping for my girls, you know, and of course they're going to have to wear a sweater or something with theirs.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I thought, you know. I just might break out some ski outfit.
Yeah. Make it a different.
Call it done.
Yeah. Well, do what you have to do.
Yeah. What do you guys do on Easter?
Well, of course, we, you know, go to church, and the Easter Bunny comes before church,
right.
And then we go to church. And then we always go to my husband's aunt's house, and his whole family's there for Easter egg hunt and lunch. And, you know, we spend most of the day there.
Right.
What about you?
Lunch at home, and then just time with the boys.
That's fun. Yeah, just a good day to do nothing.
Just to relax.
Hopefully
enjoy the weather.
Hopefully.
I tell you my big thing. I've always heard that multi-layer coconut cake is like Easter food, and I've never been able to pull it off. So I would love to be able to make one.
My mom makes the best.
Does she?
Yes, she does, and that's my favorite thing.
Me too.
I love coconut anything, and when she makes that, that's perfect. Yeah, she makes a good one.
We were talking about yogurt and coconut yogurt.
Yeah.
I can't believe anybody else in the world likes it as much as I do.
Gosh, I love it. That is my new favorite. My new favorite. Anything coconut. Speaking of coconuts, you know, makes you just want to get to the beach. Are you burning? We have our server here.
No, but he's taking it on the chin while the hand for us.
No more fingerprints for me.
Oh, no. That had to hurt.
Thank you.
Hurting himself, serving us our coffee.
Just for you.
Just for us.
What a servant.
Yes. He's a good one, though.
Yes, he is.
At Square Perk. We're at Square Perk.
Yes. Yes. Tuesdays. Go by Tuesdays if you're local.
Yes.
So tell me about your column. You briefly mentioned your new column.
Yes.
We both write for the Wordsmith Journal magazine. It is a Christian magazine that encompasses all walks of life, so it's the Wordsmith Journal magazine.com. And Kelly has a column there, Faith and Fitness, right?
Yes, and I actually have submitted this column. It hasn't been put out. It's not published yet, but I can talk about it.
Okay.
My column was about burnout. You know, just experiencing burnout and being overwhelmed. And so, you know, I talked about in my column, you know, the things to do when you are feeling overwhelmed and burnout, things to do to avoid it. I think in everyone, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or you have a career or, you know, ministry, whatever it is, everyone has the potential to experience burnout and feeling overwhelmed.
Right.
When I was a stay-at-home mom, I remember feeling overwhelmed. You know, four girls at home, you know, all little kids. You felt like you couldn't even go to the restroom, you know, that type of thing.
You got the fingers under the door.
Yeah. You couldn't eat. You know, you had to
shower.
Eat walking around and stuff like that. So,
yes.
And just never sleeping, you know, just feeling overwhelmed. And then, you know, no matter what you're doing, there's potential for that. And now that in, you know, my career as a personal trainer, you know, it's not just about being in the gym training people. You know, you're there to be a positive influence and a positive guide and leader,
right.
You know.
Right.
And when you are doing that for over 50 people, you know, that can be a bit overwhelming at times.
Oh, yeah.
And taking care of family on top of it. So I always have to be proactive in not burning out and being overwhelmed. And the saddest thing in the world is when someone is burnout and you can see because their light starts to dim a little bit.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
The thing that they're most passionate about has become overwhelming. And you see a little bit of, you know, not any excitement anymore. So that's a really sad thing. And I've witnessed it so many times. And I don't want that to happen to me because I am passionate about what I do. But I don't, you know, at the same time, I have to take care of myself and make sure that I don't get there.
Right.
So we have to learn how to pull ourselves out of it when we're feeling that way. And we have to learn how to be... you know, to take preventive measures.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what my column was about.
Wow. So, it's amazing because, like you said, I am a quote-unquote stay-at-home mom, but I work from home.
Right.
So all of my work is on the computer. And it's amazing because doesn't the workforce think those at home?
Yeah.
You know, well, you got plenty of time, time on your hands.
Yeah.
And for me, I look at someone in the workforce, well, your job's only 8 hours.
Yeah.
Mine is like 24/7.
And you get to sit down and eat lunch and with adults. I remember thinking those things. You know, I was a stay-at-home mom for many, many years. And I remember thinking, I just need a job.
Yeah. It's great because you think you've got it worse than anybody else.
Yes,
you know?
I know. I know. But, you know, like I was saying, you can feel overwhelmed in anything that you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, it can become overwhelming.
I was telling you about a verse I read last week. It's in Matthew 9:35-38, if you wanted to read it. But Jesus, in essence, saw the crowd as they were pressing towards him. And he had already preached his Sermon on the Mount, and he had performed some miracles. So people were getting who he was. He was the man with the answer.
Right.
And he looked out over the crowd, and instead of, you know, complaining about it and saying, oh, I'm so tired, I can't do this, he looked to his disciples and said, pray to the Father to send more workers.
Yeah.
And the scripture said that he was moved with compassion.
Yeah.
And I think if he saw that his ministry was so much and that he couldn't personally do it with his followers and that, you know, he needed to pray for more help.
Yeah.
Then that says to me, burnout and feeling overwhelmed is common and we should expect it.
Yeah, it is common. It is very common. And, you know, I'm sure at times he probably, after preaching and teaching and saying the same things over and over to, and then people were still quote unquote needy,
right.
I'm sure at times he thought, you know, you got to grow up a little bit, listen to what I'm saying, you know. I'm sure he probably experienced a level of frustration at times.
Yes.
But then, you know, because he was Jesus, he handled it in the right way.
He did.
But I, you know, I feel, you know, and I'm making a confession here, you know, we even feel this way with our own children at times. You know, when you put things out there day after day, you know, the knowledge, the advice, the guidance, but then you still feel that people are being somewhat needy. Mm-hmm. You almost think, okay, you know, I'm not your babysitter. You know what I mean? That sounds really harsh, but that's where a lot of us, we get to that point.
Right.
You know, I think even probably pastors feel that way at times with their congregation or.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. You're giving them the advice they need.
Yeah.
You know it's going to work. They don't want to follow it, but they're wondering why they're still where they are.
And they want your help. They want you to do something.
Yeah,
you know?
Instead of taking that personal responsibility.
Yes.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but I'm sure there were times that Jesus looked at it like, come on, people.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I've been telling you.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
And even with his own disciples, he probably, you know, felt that way.
And he got frustrated with them because they were, you know, so human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which one of us is the greatest?
I mean,
I see myself in them.
Yeah.
And we read the Bible after the fact. We can look back and we recognize Jesus was the Son of God. They didn't at the time.
Yeah.
So they, you know, it must have been very confusing to see this man who conflicted everything that Moses read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to follow these Ten Commandments. And Jesus is like, well, you know, no, it's now just down to one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I'm sure it was very confusing for them. And they were human. And see, that's what we have to, when we start feeling that frustration with people, you know, we have to say, you know, I don't, although I may know them, I still don't completely know where they're coming from, what's driving them. You know, it could be something that goes back years that is driving them. You know, maybe you never know.
And so, I think a lot of our feeling overwhelmed, if you think about it, it's because somebody needs you more than you feel you are capable of helping.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm like everybody else. I worry about finances. I worry about, you know, there's an element of quote unquote office politics you deal with. But those problems you can pretty much handle. But it's the neediness of others and knowing that people come to you wanting the answer.
And, you know, I have over 50 clients right now, and you know, if I let myself dwell on that, that in itself is overwhelming, because those people are depending on me for their health and well-being. They're depending on me to help them achieve things physically that they need. And most of my clients that come to me, it's not just a vanity thing.
Right.
It's for health reasons. They have to lose weight, you know, because their body is experiencing physical problems because of weight and different things, and although they end up looking great, but you know, most of them come to me to feel better, to, you know, to lose weight for health reasons, and you know, I to know that I'm dealing with every level of you know, not just their fitness, but your emotions are involved, and your self-confidence is involved, and your mentality is involved. And I'm responsible. They're coming to me for answers in all of those areas. That's overwhelming. If I let myself think about that, I think, how, you know, first of all, I don't feel worthy, you know, that God would trust me with that. You know, second of all, I think, can I really help these people like they're expecting? You know, I don't want to fall short. And then the factor of there are so many. And then taking care of a family on top of that, you know, with my girls and the activities that go on. So it is very overwhelming at times. But, you know, the key for me is not just taking it one day at a time. You know, that's all I can do. If I thought ahead, and I do have to think ahead to a certain degree, but if I really let myself go there and worry about what's down the road, I would be a basket case.
You know?
And I would get burnt out quickly. But all I can do is take it one day at a time and put it in God's hands. You know, what people don't realize is that, you know, I can only speak for myself, and I'm sure that in my industry or whatever industry you're in or ministry, and this is the key, is to put them in God's hands and ask Him to intervene on their behalf in this area with what I'm helping them with, that He would intervene, that He would help me help them, you know, and I think that's the biggest key to it all.
That's true. Whether you feel overwhelmed with three kids or a congregation of 3,000.
You just say, God, you know, we have to do this together. I can't do it. I'm certainly not capable in and of myself to do that, you know, to do what I'm doing. And even when I was a stay-at-home mom, I would ask God, you know, to help me. We can't not have His help and not just go nuts.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that's key.
What are some of the things that you do on a daily basis? You know, what does Kelly do on a daily basis to protect herself from getting burned out? Because there are, you know, like you said, if you tend to look at, you know, here for the next 2 weeks and all of your engagements and all of your appearances and, you know, all the workouts you got to come up with, that's very stressful. So taking it day by day. But do you do anything else to safeguard?
I do. I'm just putting this out there because I want people to see not just what I'm doing, but to look at their own life.
Right.
You know, first you got to take a look at everything you're doing. And that, I know that seems contradictory, but, you know, I train people every day. You know, I have to put together the workouts for them. They're keeping food journals that I have to look at weekly, you know, and for 50-something people that I can't just do that in an hour. You know, that takes some time. I'm looking at their food journals, doing measurements for them, you know, taking pictures, just constantly encouraging them, motivating them. I get emails, Facebook messages, texts around the clock. I'm talking about it never stops. And then I write. We do the radio show. You know, I'm always like working on websites, working on blogs, working on everything. And I'm, you know, working together with Side Meat. I try to do a little bit with that every week. So just thinking about the whole picture and everything you have to do. It's not a matter of walking into the gym and training and then leaving and going home.
Right.
That's not to mention all the things that my girls have going on. You know, just so many things, endless things. So I have to, the thing that I have to do every single day is, you know, you have to become a little bit selfish. And that sounds bad, but if you don't, then people are going to take what you will give.
Yes.
You know, yes. Even your children, even your family. So I have to draw the line at certain times and say, with my kids, after 9 o'clock, this is my time. You know, I spend my time with them, and at 9 o'clock, that is my time. With clients or, you know, people messaging or texting or whatever, emailing, after a certain time, I will not respond unless it's an emergency. You know, you have to draw the line. If you don't, when it's time for lunch, it's time for lunch. You know, I have to. I could work straight through lunch. There are so many things I could do during that time, but I have to turn it off, everything, and make that time for lunch. I know it sounds so simple,
right?
You know, and then it's so important to get the rest that you need, and that's, you know, with the schedule, with, you know, up at 5 o'clock every morning, and then, you know, I have to make myself. Although I could. At night, I could sit there for hours just because it's quiet and I'm alone,
yes,
and I love it. I love it. I could sit there till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I really could.
Right.
But I have to, because I'm enjoying that time so much, but I have to make myself put everything away, you know, whether I'm reading or I'm on the computer or whatever I'm doing.
Right.
And just go to bed, you know. Mm-hmm. So I know these are very, you know, elementary things, but these are just simple things to do every day, you know. And, of course, time with God to refresh, you know, replenish. That is where our true refreshment is going to come from.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes time with God, it, you know, I may not be able to just get on my knees for like an hour.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes my time with God is driving down the road.
Same here.
And turning on some music and not answering my phone or not, you know, whatever it takes. Just some time that I can get in His presence, even if it's just for 10 or 15 minutes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just some little things that I do daily. You know, and just, you know, not just rest, but eating, make sure I eat right, because it's so easy just to skip meals when I'm so busy or pick a little bit here and there, but that's not good for you either, because all these things play together in burnout, you know, lack of sleep, not eating right, not making time for yourself.
So take care of yourself as well as you take care of others.
Yes,
basically.
You have to. If you don't, how can you take care of others?
Yes,
you can't.
My mom used to tell me that all the time. She's like, okay, you're taking care of this person, this person, this person. You're doing this, this, and this, but who's taking care of Mary?
Right.
And see, while other people are dependent on you to take care of them, you have to take care of yourself.
Yes.
There's nobody you can go to and say, take care of me.
Right. There's
you know?
Not. There's not. And, you know, I think that God puts us where He wants us, where He knows we're capable, where He needs us to be. He places the passions in our heart for those things.
Right.
And I, you know, really never thought I would see myself doing what I'm doing, you know, and the responsibility of it all is huge. It's huge.
Right.
And I am literally in a place where I can't let people see me down and out.
Yes.
You know, I can't let people see me stressed out or sad or, you know,
burnout
or just, you know, dragging my feet.
Yes.
I can't, because if I do that, they're not going to come to me for the help that they need, you
that's
know, because
true.
Of the role that I'm in. And that's just, and that's what I chose to do. That's where God placed me. So that is even triple hard.
Yes.
When I'm feeling so exhausted, or maybe I have an issue going on that I'm stressed over personally, you know, whatever the case may be, I have to have a smile on my face and be energetic and positive and motivating 24/7, it feels like, you know.
Yes.
Not
yes.
just in the gym, but with my family, too. You want to be that for your kids.
Right.
So, you know, that's where you really think, and that's where you come in. Because if it weren't for Mary and God, I wouldn't be pulling my hair out.
Same
so,
here.
You know, I said all that to say, this is in my column as well. You've got to find a friend that you can trust. Mm-hmm. You can just let it all out.
Yes.
You know, you can share what's going on. That person, your go-to, you know, that you trust, that will pray for you, that you can tell everything to.
Mm-hmm.
That is so important.
You mentioned a few minutes ago your time with God, which is important mm-hmm. too. But there was, I read an article that I wanted to discuss with you for a minute on solace and personal time. And it stated that, it's in Psychology Today, the title of the article is, "What is really blocking our joy in relationships, our creativity, and our peace of mind?" Mm-hmm. And it said it is our lack of being alone. And it went on to say that our population has doubled since the 50s. That blows my mind.
Wow.
And that we live in a society that worships independence, yet deeply fears alienation. Our era is overconnected. And then it says, being alone gives us the power to regulate and adjust our lives. Alone time is fuel for life.
Yeah.
And I think about it, and when I get the most overwhelmed, it's because Mary has not been alone.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times I go in my room, and I lock the door and tell the boys I have got to have a few minutes. Mom needs a timeout.
Yeah.
And I literally lock the bedroom door, put my phone in the living room so I can't even hear it ring.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even turn on the TV. I don't turn on the radio. And I just sit and look outside for
yeah.
a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're constantly, from the time you wake up until you go to bed, you're hearing noise.
Yeah.
Electronics,
yes.
TV, even people talking.
Yeah.
If all you do is hear noise, it will grate on your nerves.
Yeah, it does.
And wear you down.
And too, I think that we feel... That's another thing that I said in my article, my column, is... one thing that is leaving your devices alone.
Mm-hmm.
There is a time when you need to turn off your phone, turn off your computer, whatever device that is, you know,
yes.
I mean, we can access the internet through every device we have
true.
Now. And we feel drawn to that because that's our connection to the world. You know, everything that I do for my business is on Facebook and, you know, that type of thing. And that's where a lot of people message me for, you know, what I do. But, you know, there are times, and this is a perfect example. On Sunday, I spent the day with my family. We went to my sister's house for her little girl, my niece's birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
It was an entire day with family. And I turned my phone off and left it in the car.
You
know, and I went in, spent the entire day with my family because my phone, not only am I getting texts and phone calls, but, you know, I feel compelled to look, make sure no one's messaging me on Facebook.
Yes.
Do they need anything? Even
yes.
clients will do that. So by the end of the day, I felt guilty that I had, you know, not checked in to make sure people weren't needing something.
right.
Know? But then I thought, you know what? Everybody has to have this time.
Absolutely.
Everyone. It doesn't matter. You know, I need to get over that. You know, we need
right.
to get over feeling obligated to stay connected to the world with our devices, you know.
That's true.
We can let it go for a while. You
and
know?
It's part of being responsible. You realize God has given these people to you to
yeah.
shepherd and take
yeah.
care of.
Yeah.
So you don't want to let them down.
Yeah.
But there comes
yeah.
a point when you say, okay, this is me time.
Yeah. You
I
have
can't
to.
Be effective if I...
Right.
And, you know, Jesus went off into the mountains in the morning to pray. So there is the standard. You know,
right.
you have to get along to recalibrate, to,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get that peace back in your life so you can
mm-hmm.
extend it to others.
Exactly. If you don't, then what do you have to give?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be replenished. You have to be renewed, you know, in your mind and in your body. And if you don't, then what do you have to give to others? You know?
Right, right. We briefly talked about this last week, but I think it applies to this. You were speaking about addictions
mm-hmm.
and how people that have addictions, you know, instead of saying, you know, well, look what you did to yourself,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, if they have physical problems, saying, well, you shouldn't have done that, you know.
Yeah.
Instead, look at them, you know, what is the root of this addiction? And I think part of not managing your day-to-day and getting so overwhelmed, I think that opens you up
yeah.
to addictions of any sort.
Yeah, you're right, because you're looking for relief.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
you're looking for relief. And sometimes we, and I speak for myself, and I know so many people feel like this, that, you know, they may be in situations where they think, well, it is impossible for me to take time for myself, or it's impossible for me to turn everything off. You know, we don't, I don't know all the different situations out there that cause people to feel overwhelmed.
Right.
You may feel that, you know, I have to be where I am 24/7.
Right.
But so they're looking, you know, for that relief somehow, some way, some sort of relief. And I think that's where addictions come in to play.
I do too.
You know, I think that there, no matter what your situation is, there, even if you can only find 10 minutes here and there to get alone or whatever, you know, just take that. I think sometimes people think if they don't have hours,
that's
not. But you know what? I don't have hours. Yes. I have to take what I can get, you know?
Yes.
I think that's, you know, I think instead of searching for, you know, some people smoke because it's a stress relief, you know, and I've heard that through clients so many times.
Yes.
People drink alcohol because it's a, you know, they get relaxed, you know, they don't ever have time to, any downtime, so they'll drink alcohol. Now, I think there are different things people go to for relief.
Yeah, it's pacifying.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, when not only thinking about how we can prevent our own burnout, but if you see somebody else with an addiction, it's possible they have hit that point in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's very possible, and I think that, you know, I don't think people just start doing that just for the fun of it. You know, there's a reason they're led into that. And I think just stress and being overwhelmed for whatever reason leads people to that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we're talking about being overwhelmed. I think most people are like, okay, you're saying all this, so what do I do about it? You know, what are some things, some logical things?
Yes.
So I have, you know, some in my column that I wrote and a couple of other things that I found. And I'm going to pull that up. I've got my column right here. But some of the things that I mentioned in my column, the first thing is take an inventory and make a list of all the situations that cause you to feel stressed, anxious, worried, frustrated, and helpless. Don't rush through it. You should consider this inventory like a work in progress, adding to it as things come to your mind. And then next to each item on the inventory, write down at least one way to modify that situation to reduce its stress. It may be something very, very simple that you can do to, you know, to not anything unrealistic, but just something that you can do. For example, if I see that I'm feeling overwhelmed because I'm just physically exhausted, well, you know, I'm in the gym. I'm that's my job. It's a physical job. You know, I have to do that job, and this is just the way I've thought before, and I know other people are thinking that about their situation. Well, it's a physical job. I can't modify that, you know. It's what I do. Well, what am I doing outside of the gym to take care of myself physically? Right. You know, if it means going to bed 30 minutes earlier, get that extra 30 minutes of rest. You know, if it means, although this is going to sound crazy, but if it means I skip one day washing my hair so I can sleep 20-30 minutes later.
Right.
Skip one day. Well, you know, it's simple things. So go through and modify, you know, take inventory and modify. And a big one is just say no. People are going to ask, and they'll take what you give, you know.
Yes.
So you've got to learn to say no and to know that it's okay. You know, I've always been a person that wants to accommodate the world, you know, and I think a lot of women are like that.
Yes.
But we have to learn to say no. We have to.
Yes.
And so that's a big one. Another one is delegate as many things as you possibly can. That's a hard one for me.
Yes,
I think that's
too.
A hard one for a lot of women because we want to be in control of everything.
Yes.
We want to know that our hands are touching everything that's going on, but you have to learn to let things go.
Right.
I have really learned that with my business and having people help me do different things with my business. It's very hard to do, but then again, once you get used to letting things go and let someone else take care of it, it's liberating.
Knowing,
okay, that's really weird that this is being taken care of and I didn't have to do a thing. That is weird.
And the results are actually good.
Yeah, it works just the way I wanted it to. So, you know, it's really liberating once you get over the, you know, letting go.
Panic and letting go.
Control your devices, which I said earlier. Socialize outside your professional group or whatever situation you're in. If it's if you're taking care of someone that's sick, or, you know, and you're doing that 24/7, or you're taking care of children, you're a stay-at-home mom, or it's your career, you have to socialize outside of that. You know, you've got to find, and although you may not have a lot of time to do it, you can have a friend. Find a friend, someone you can confide in, call them. You know, that's your time to socialize with them, just a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Resist the urge to take work home, you know, if it's for a job or a career. Reinforce effort, not outcome. Even the best players hit home runs every time they get up to bat. Remember to reinforce yourself for trying rather than only for the end result. So that's important. And spend time with God. You know, that's the biggest. So yes. Those are just a few things that people, just tips on what to do.
And when will your column be posted?
This the 1st, April 1st.
The 1st, yeah. Okay. So if you want to read more in depth,
yeah.
April 1st, thewordsmithjournalmagazine.com, and go under the columns, Faith and Fitness, right?
Yes.
And don't just do it this time. Kelly writes twice a month?
Twice
a month. So check out her column there. We are out of time.
Mm. No, we're not.
She about choked on her coffee.
I did. That is not right, is it?
I know.
Well.
Let us know if you enjoyed today's show and what you're doing to be proactive.
Yeah, anything, ideas that you may have to help with reducing stress and preventing burnout. And let us know. We're always open for new ideas.
Exactly. You can email your suggestions at thriveradiotalkshow@gmail.com. We have a group page on Facebook, Thrive Radio Talk Show group page.
I'm on Facebook, Kelly Davis Williams.
And I am there as well, Mary Nicholson. So go out into your world without stress, hopefully.
Yeah.
And we will see you next Monday here on Rev Media Network and Thrive.
Gotcha. You're listening to Mary and Kelly live on Thrive.
I came to win, to fight, to conquer, to thrive. I came to win, to thrive, to prosper, to rise. Early 20s.